to the Rule of Three.
I'm Brian Miller, and over here we have Tim Slagle.
Hey.
And we're going to get to a bet. We proposed a bet last week.
I think we might be ready to seal it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Terms are being discussed. There's talk of a wager regarding the presidential election. So we will work that out in the final segment. Speaking of, it's been a very divisive week. Obviously, people are pretty much picking one candidate or the other at this point. There's very few people in the middle who are left to be swayed, but I guess that's who they're fighting over at this point, is just those handful of people in the middle who don't know if they prefer Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie in the whole divorce proceeding. Big news!
I did not know they were getting a divorce. Well, no, actually, to be honest, I didn't know they were still married. You know, it's almost like Bill and Hillary. It's like, well, yeah, maybe I guess they were technically married, but how many minutes have they spent with each other in the past year?
Right. Yeah, like she's over in Africa raising money, and then he's like growing a beard and trying to be Robert Redford in a movie. You know, in California. I don't know. I don't know what their personal life is.
She's raising money to buy more children.
But I don't know anything about their personal lives. Might be very nice people. I think she yoko'd Brad Pitt a little bit. I do really like
Brad
Pitt.
Sort of in a fashion.
Yeah, I just think just in the sense that I really like Brad Pitt and he's a really good actor. And
it's that Yoko mm-hmm. had charms that were invisible to the naked eye.
Yes, that's true.
It's more. I would say it's more that she Jenny McCarthy'd Brad Pitt, or she Amber Heard'd Brad Pitt.
Well, I don't know. I think it's actually closer to maybe closer to the first one. Definitely closer to Yoko, though. In that, I think the worst thing that Yoko did to John, to me, was just sort of take away or at least diminish the sense of humor that made him so charming. You know, it's like that. And so the Beatles are funny. That's why I like the Beatles, because the Beatles were funny. And they got so serious. And that's what Brad Pitt, very good actor. And Angelina Jolie, a fine performer. She's a talented actress. I have nothing against her. But what I don't like is, or what I get tired of is she's just one of those just gruelingly serious people. One of those people who are very serious about the business of letting you know how serious they are. And yeah,
almost like a vegetarian.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, but I just find that to be probably the single most obnoxious, completely harmless quality a person can have. Because you can still be a great person. You could be doing – it's kind of like the Mother Night syndrome from Kurt Vonnegut. You know, I mean, ultimately, if you're doing a lot of good work, you're doing good work, even if you're being a ponce about it. But holy smoke, she just seems like she would be just the ruiner of all cocktail party fun. You know, like you're just in the corner and you're just like, oh, man, if you guys, the L.A. Rams just moved to town and it sucks. We're Holly. We got this terrible. And she sidles up and she's like, well, you know, what's really sad is that the children of Venezuela, since the governmental collapse, no longer have free iPads in there. And like, oh, my God, we were having a good time.
That's kind of a curse, though, with good looking people.
Well, they get tired eventually of being, I guess, maybe, I don't know. This would talk about me talking about something I don't know about. I assume they get tired of being assumed that they're. They overcompensate for their aesthetic qualities.
Yeah. Well, that's possible. But then there's also another thing of it is I notice that I've never met a good-looking girl that knows that she's dumb.
Well, that's true. But I don't think Angelina Jolie is dumb.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Right. But you're right.
I think
you could take girl away. And I think you could say person. Because I've met some guys who fall into that very same category.
Okay. But
no one tells a good-looking person bad news if they don't have to.
No, I disagree.
To.
I think I've known some good-looking guys who kind of accept their limitations. Whereas girls are used to it fits into it too. Is it, like I said, I don't, from what I understand, Angelina Jolie is very, very intelligent. But what happens is that when, even if you're not, if you say something and you're good looking, guys will nod their head and say, "That's brilliant. That is."
No, that's true. And so, I'm sure the same
thing
goes.
There's a tendency when you're treated like that to start thinking of yourself somewhat as a statesman. And start saying profound things because you enjoy that better than saying, "Wow, did you just get another boob job?"
Yeah, and I suppose the same logic would track for saying boring things. No one's gonna tell you you're boring either.
Yeah.
If you're in the room with her and she's talking, it's probably not boring. It's probably fascinating.
Never.
She's very magnetic.
Never. That is exactly correct. No one, except maybe Brad. Brad, I'm sure, is more than one occasion said, "Angelina, you're boring me."
Oh, everyone is ultimately immune to their spouse's charms on both sides of the aisle. That's just the way it is.
It's I don't know the adage. It's something to the effect of no matter how good looking you are, there's a man somewhere who's tired of it.
Yeah, but I think it goes the same way. I think a lot of girls would be happy to be cozied up next to Brad Pitt, but when he farts in bed, I think they pretend that they don't mind, but they mind just as much. It's like, nope, still a dude.
Yeah.
But I thought this what was interesting, two things that were interesting about this Brad Pitt and Angelina thing. It is very frivolous. First off, CNN just has a headline with their picture that just says, "It's over." And my first thought was, yeah, it is over, CNN. This is your top news story. It's done. You are over officially. We can call this race.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It's somebody at the head of CNN bumped into someone at the head of TMZ.
Bro, absolutely. They got their letters mixed up.
TMZ was bragging about how many hits they got last week.
No, I think partly, too, what it might be is that I think – to some degree, people are kind of craving some frivolous news. This is like the frivolous news we need right now. People won't obsess over something that's not terrifying and or possibly life or death / country altering.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like football. Kind of like arguing about football.
Yeah, and I think especially as we head into the home stretch of the presidential election that, I mean, this, don't you certainly think with all the attention the primaries got that they usually don't, this has felt like the longest election yet.
Well, it might have been the longest election.
Yeah.
I think we'd have to look that up. But, I mean, every cycle, they start a little bit earlier. The primaries start a little bit earlier. It's, you know, it used to be that the campaign really didn't start until the summer before. You know, there was a couple feelers put out, but the primaries really didn't start, I think, originally till like June.
I know, right? Well, now I would say the 2008 election was pretty long as well, when we had, you know, W's out and then you've got the Hillary versus Obama and then the, you know, the Republican primary was over quicker, but it did start up and it was a little contentious because it was an open, you know, Cheney wasn't running. I remember feeling like that one started early, but I don't know if it started earlier than this one. So I think people are like, oh, yeah, let's fuss over some.
Well, that one, it pretty much John McCain said he wanted it, and the Republican Party said, okay, it's yours.
As best I – that's a, yeah, that's as
it
best
was kind
I recall
of like,
that.
It was kind of like, the Hillary without the Bernie. It was kind of like, okay, it's McCain's turn.
Yeah.
This is, you know, he's wanted it for a while. This is his year, and everyone kind of understood that, and they let him have it. There was no real competition for the spot.
But Hillary and Obama were duking it out for a while. While he was the candidate. I remember that was the big there was a bunch of concern over that at the time.
That what? That Hillary still...
No, that just that Barack and Hillary were going at each other and McCain was able to not... He wasn't taking any flack from anybody because they were busy fighting each other and he was the nominee, basically. So he was like, hey, I'm pretty cushy over here.
Yeah,
no, I remember there was some hand-wringing about that at the time. But yeah, this cycle has felt really long, and it feels like it's never going to end. It feels like I'm just going to get up and be talking about this stupid race for the rest of my life.
But unlike this race, the segment has an end.
Oh, that's why the podcast works so well.
a friendship, but you made it a battleship.
Used to be a friendship, but you made it a battleship.
Ceased to be a friendship the minute that she did it in my heart, that heart, that. She was off limits.
And we're back on the Rule
of
Three. Of course, if you are watching the news, everyone has been talking about the shocking video that revealed Corey Feldman wants to be a musician. And
it was shocking video. It was. They should have some sort of graphic content warning with it, I'll tell you that. Well, no, this was not news to me as a sort of weirdo, obsessive pop culture denizen who, especially with movies, I follow a lot of movie news. And this very same act that Corey Feldman does, this was a real low-flying news story about a year ago. He did it at a minor league ballpark at a halftime event, and it was so roundly hated and booed by the fans that the ball team issued an apology that they emailed out to all the ticket holders.
Where was this?
I'll have to look it up. Okay. My phone's running out of juice, but this was last year. It wasn't in Minneapolis, but it was no, that made the rounds because it was apparently this atrocity. And then later Corey Feldman claimed that they're like, hey, well, you know, and I was sympathetic to him at the time. He was like, well, they really set me up to fail. You know, like I was in a weird area and they didn't, you know, we've all done a comedy show where you walk in and you look at the setup and you go, well, no one's going to successfully do comedy here.
Well, actually, you know, since you say I'm straying off topic here, sure. But since you brought it up, I did a gig. And I came in on Thursday night, and they said, okay, now Saturday afternoon we have you doing a promo, and it's like, well, you know, you expect to do it, you know. For those of you not in the industry, what happens is you go into town and they give you a whole bunch of radio and television interviews that you have to do during the day to try to promote the show at night. And he said, well, I've got an appearance scheduled for you. I go, oh, okay, great. Where at? And he said, it's at the minor league ballpark. You're going to go on the mound during the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, my God.
And I said, no, I'm not. I mean, that is not, number one, that is not a media appearance. That is a gig.
/ gladiatorial sacrifice.
Yeah. Further, it is a hell gig, and even further, I wouldn't do it for free. You know.
Oh, that's the kind of thing that I would do if the guy who owned the Twins said they want me to go out and do 5 minutes during the seventh inning stretch. If I said, look, if you'll pay me $5,000, I will go out and be humiliated in your baseball stadium. But I want you to know ahead of time that's what's going to happen.
Exactly. And that's what I said. I said,
but I would do it for $5,000.
You know, especially me. Now, if I was, you know, if I was a clown, you know, if I was a juggler, if I had any of those tools at my disposal, if I could play a guitar, if I had any of those tools at my disposal, I would have had no problem on the pitcher's mound. I am none of those. I'm, you know, some might argue that I'm not even funny. There is no way that is going to, and I tried to explain to him, I said, there's no way that's going to promote the show. There's absolutely no way. And further, if you spent all day afternoon at the ballpark, you're not going to come to the club anyway. You're not going to say, boy, that guy on the pitcher's mound was funny. Let's go see his show tonight.
We've been out for 3.5 hours and we've had
in the
eight
sun
beers.
Drinking beer. Yeah. No, that's it for the day. That's your budget. That's your entertainment budget. And so, I never got booked back because I refused to do it.
Well,
the other comics. Well, if I would have done it, I probably would have never been booked back either. So,
right. And the other thing
really,
is,
there was
do
really
you want
no
to be booked
loss.
Back there? You know, I mean, someone tells me that it wasn't a great club with a perfect setup and wonderful audiences and that.
It was a club I enjoyed working.
Oh, wow. I mean, usually the stupider ideas tend to come with the crappier clubs anyway.
No, essentially, it was a hotel club.
Oh, okay. Those are nice just for the being able to go back to your room right away.
Yeah, no, but usually in the hotel club, they don't really focus on the management. And the guy that was a manager, it was like he was moved up from bar back. It was, you know, one.
Sure. No, yeah. That's absolutely a thing. Know, it's like a hotel manager who also runs the comedy club.
Yeah, but he was a little anyway. I'm not going to go into it. I might get booked back. He might be listening.
So you and Corey Feldman have had similar experiences.
If Corey Feldman was joking, if he was pulling an Andy Kaufman, he would be considered a genius. The sad thing is, he's so serious.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I witnessed this video live, which is extremely beyond improbable.
You were watching the Today Show?
Well, I was, in a way. I was doing the radio show. I was doing Twin Cities News Talk with Andrew and John Justice. And they have a TV mounted above John Justice's head.
Did the show just stop?
Yeah. Well, it was during a break, I think. We were definitely, because when he started, we were on the air and we went into break. But I saw it over John's head and was fascinated by it. And of course, John couldn't see it because he was facing away. This is a radio show, by the way, with two fellas. And Andrew just wasn't looking up. So I was the only one who saw it. And so as soon as we got off air, I like put my headphones down. I was like, are you guys watching this? And then it was like 9/11. We all just wandered toward the TV, slack jawed, staring, not sure how we could continue about our day. I mean, at least.
The interesting thing for me is the girls in the back looked like what happened when the Robert Palmer girls died.
For those of you who haven't seen it, you should definitely go Google Corey Feldman Today Show performance and watch that.
Or at this point, you just Google Feldman.
Yeah. It was like all you need Larry, now. If Larry Flint had his own fleet of Victoria's Secret Angels. But no, you're right, though. That was the Robert Palmer girls died, and they thought they went to heaven, but they went to hell, and they were tricked into wearing these tacky uniforms. Well, he comes out dressed as what looked to be a Star Wars villain, like a D-grade Star Wars villain, and then does the weirdest dance number. Well, and the true darkness of this, I mean, it's funny.
Well,
the really, really, truly awful thing about this, right? Is that he's basically doing, and he said as much, it is essentially a intended to be like a Michael Jackson homage.
Yeah, and he actually pulled down, did you notice he pulled down one clump of hair over, one strand over one eye. So he kind of has the,
Oh, but you know Mr. Feldman's history with, don't think I'm misspeaking this. I'm almost certain he was one of the people who was diddled by Michael Jackson. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
So he's like acting out some weird baggage based on his like very weird long-term relationship with his abuser, as far as I can tell.
Oh man, I did not know that. But yeah, but the timing's right, isn't it?
Doesn't it kind of like weirdly make a kind of because you're watching this going, what in the hell would compel anyone? But they're like, oh yeah, and that was my first thought, was like, oh, this is, because I remember hearing just. I never really knew what the substance of the act was, but I remember hearing that he did a Michael Jackson-style tribute. I thought he just, like, sang Man in the Mirror or something.
Well, somebody pointed out in 1992, on a Howard Stern special for MTV, he did a performance.
Mm.
And so, I mean, he's been in the music industry. I hope the quotes were audible on either end there for quite some time. And the show that he did on MTV was far more, you could see far more that he looked like a bad Mike. At that point, he looked like a bad Michael Jackson impersonator.
Yeah. Well, this was like just far enough away. Yeah. This was just far enough away from it to be like bizarrely off-putting. Because there's a lot of kind of vaguely Michael Jackson-esque dance moves, but like without any of the fluidity and capability, which renders it into this strange sort of matrixy sci-fi dystopian pantomime. We were sitting in the studio staring up at it, and I turned to Andrew. We were all slack-jawed, and I finally turned to Andrew and John, and I said, you know, Corey Haim got off easy.
And the interesting thing is he also decided to come out that the girls are girls from troubled pasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's at the intro he said that he has a whole that's where the money goes. Is that he's building a suit. I didn't hear exactly. I'm paraphrasing here, but he says some kind of shelter for troubled women.
Did it just happen to be hot, troubled women that he puts in lingerie?
It seems like that, doesn't it?
A shelter for troubled
women is called a strip club.
Yeah. Yeah, this has got more pathos and bathos than a Greek strip club, I'll tell you that. Holy smokes.
And I wish we could go into it further. However.
Them's the rules. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I assumed the girls were troubled. Like, I thought that kind of went without saying, but I didn't know.
That's what he said, that he kind of encourages them to come to him and helps them.
Or preys upon them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Jesus.
It was a little creepy. And then when you told me that he was, or reminded me that he was one of MJ's victims, it's like, oh my God, he's returning the favor.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, you know, he doesn't go for cancer girls who can't talk in about 5 years.
Right.
He's going for daddy issues.
Yeah. This all stems back to Joe Jackson being an asshole.
Wow.
It really does.
Oh, you know what? Huh. I think we're going to keep the segment going. I think that's the end of the segment. or close, because this is actually fascinating. I'm going to review this on editing, and I might just keep this going.
All right.
I might keep it rolling because that I think a couple interesting things were said there.
Hot off-air talk.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Joe Jackson was the butterfly wings.
Wow. And this is what comes of it. Oh, no. In a million years, a million sci-fi writers couldn't have come up with what happened on the Today Show.
And I think that's a wrap on this one.
And now, in the final segment, Rule of Three, as promised, a payoff to last week's hot gambling talk, as I like to think of it. There's definitely an apostrophe on that. It's not gambling, it's gambling.
Everyone place your wagers.
And this started because you said that you thought you had it called last week, and you called it, so it's called. It's in stone. You said Trump's going to win.
I called it, and it's called, and I'm not retracting. I actually, in between last week and this week, put $100 out there.
Wow. With whom?
A comic. Well, it was on Facebook, so I guess a comic in Chicago, Bill Gorgo.
Ah, not familiar with
him.
He
said that there is no way that Donald Trump is going to get 15% of the black vote. And I said,
I think you might lose that bet.
He's polling at 21 right now.
Really?
Yeah.
In what polls?
LA Times.
All right.
And it's been steadily going up since his Milwaukee speech. Since he actually came out and said that, you know, the problem is you guys have been voting for Democrats and what have they done for you?
So this is sort of like a prop bet. This is like when people are betting on the Super Bowl, and then they internally bet like what the coin toss is going to turn out to be or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And
so there's no bearing on who wins or loses overall. This is strictly 15% black vote.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I mean, it's a pretty low number. So, I mean, I think if there's polling at 21%.
See, the thing is it goes against conventional wisdom. And conventional wisdom is that the black vote always goes to Democrats. It's just there's no way.
Depending on other candidates, I would definitely not make that. The Trump plus Republican thing is what, you know, he's not exactly.
Well, he actually is. He's actually being. I mean, that's what this cycle is just going against everything that has been everything that has ever happened before.
Well, I guess I would have been surprised by I will continue to be surprised by it, even though like, just because like when he was running housing projects, they would put a C next to people who are minorities named to signal colored because they only wanted five C families in like
yeah,
1,000 units.
Yeah, but that was in 1973. And a lot of people, you know, in 1973.
I think it was later than that.
In 1973, I think Robert Byrd was still lighting crosses. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that was a while ago. It's they don't the black community doesn't see that now. The black community, what the black community sees now is that is the same thing that the white working class, you know, the black working class community and the white working class, they both think that that American jobs are going to Mexico and China. And the Mexicans are coming. Actually, Mexicans are coming in and taking the jobs here, and that are left that don't go to China. And that's what they both believe. That's what the working class believes, and it transcends racial lines.
Yeah. No, I think you're. I mean, 15% is a pretty low bar to clear. I think you might win that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like I said, it's 20 right now. And
I mean,
there's
a group called Latinos for Trump. If there's a group called Latinos for Trump, you got to be able to find like nine black guys to vote for Trump.
38%, the LA Times poll, 38% of Hispanics are for Trump.
That is
insane. Yeah, well, the reason, of course, there is that, you know, they're the citizens. That's 38% of the voting Hispanics. Non-voting Hispanics may have another opinion, but they're not registered yet.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Okay. So your bet was with me. It wasn't just because.
Oh, I said no. I said I'm calling it for Trump.
I don't think that's going to happen based on electoral map. And I'll tell you this. I think if he wins, one thing this will be big time is a referendum on. I don't mean just conventional politics in terms of like how you write speeches, but I mean in terms of how you run a ground game, how you accumulate data and use data, polling data, and all this other kinds of data. It's going to be, I think, as best I can tell, the Democrats are most confident about their win because of their field operatives and their kind of elaborate ground game, which Trump utterly lacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Trump utterly lacks it in a sense that he's going, hey, I don't need this. So it's like a new way of doing things. And maybe that works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that'll be an interesting referendum. But that is why I think the Democrats will win, because I think it's one of those boring, wonky, invisible things that does make a difference.
Well, you know.
In terms of turnout and stuff.
You know, there are some studies that say that Obama would have lost in 2012 if he had removed the dead vote. So.
Huh?
The dead people that were voting.
Wow, this sounds like some crackpot crap to me, I got to tell you.
That's exactly what I meant it to be.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know what the hell this is. Like, we're veering into some weird territory here.
No.
But anyway, the bet being, I'm not super confident Hillary's going to win, but just because you're so confident Trump's going to win, I thought it would be fun if we had a little wager to see. And I think I thought of maybe a term for the wager.
Okay.
Whoever, if I lose, I have to go to the library and get a copy of Art of the Deal and read as much of it as I can and do a podcast segment, and I have to present like a little book report on the Art of the Deal. But if you lose, you have to do the same thing with Hard Choices.
Oh, man.
I'm not even going to remotely claim I'm going to read the whole book, by the way. Don't.
Isn't Hard Choices like 800 pages?
Oh, I don't know.
So I thought that was a long
I suppose
one,
if huh? you want to go a deep cut and get like It Takes a Village or something, I guess.
Boy,
again,
I don't even know if I would get any satisfaction in reading that book.
Fair enough.
It would be like watching someone being tortured. There's no enjoyment in that unless you're unless you have some mental issues. I couldn't. You know, I would just cringe as you turned every page.
To be honest, it's funny. I was also thinking like, ugh, I don't know what would be worse. I don't know what would be worse, reading The Art of Deal or reading Hard Choices.
I
agree. They both sound pretty terrible.
Yeah, I know. It's neither of us. Neither of us are you know.
Yeah, you're right. That's a suicide pact. I hadn't thought it through far enough.
Neither of us are well behind the candidates. I'm not a Trump supporter. I just think he's going to win. And I'm not a Hillary supporter, so that's, you know, so that kind of makes me a Trump supporter. And I think you're the same way. You're not really a...
I'm strong enough anti-Trump that I am pro-Hillary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I'm not even that.
Yeah, and I think I'm probably more pro-Hillary than you are pro-Trump, I would say. But I've said it before, if Mitt Romney was running, I'd be like, whatever, I'll sit this one out, toss a coin.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Did I run my coin theory by you last week, that the coin would win? Did we talk about that? Did we do that?
No.
Well, here's real quick, my coin theory. I have multiple people have, some have even said don't admit that this is true, but they said it was true. That they would do this. I think if the election was decided between Hillary's running against Trump, and then there's a third party, and the third party is a coin. And this coin, if you vote for the coin, you just vote for the coin. If you vote for the coin, at the end of Election Day, we flip it. Heads, Obama stays president 4 years. Tails, Romney's president. I think the coin would win in a three-way race. I legitimately think the coin would win. I think most people would be mostly okay with both of those options.
Okay.
That's just my theory.
Yeah, no.
It's based
on
nothing. But I've had people that would surprise you say, I'd take the coin.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's
because there's a 50% chance you get somebody you kind of like out of that, which is better than this one. And then the negative alternative of the coin is a mitigated bad version of whatever side you're on, I think, is the theory.
I think the flaw in your coin theory, it's close, but I think the flaw is that you're underestimating the opposition towards Obama. If there's even a 50% chance of another 4 years of Obama, I think you're gonna find a lot of opposition.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm not saying the coin wins in a landslide, but I
run
this
coin,
by mostly
the coin
Republican.
Definitely would show. Yes, the coin would definitely pull better probably than the Green Party.
Oh my God, yes. Jill Stein would say it causes autism.
So anyway, we are coming close to the end of this segment.
Oh yeah,
and we have not called a bet. Well, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to be working Acme Election Week.
Oh right, I didn't even put that together.
So yeah, so theoretically,
because you're here hosting the anniversary show.
I'm hoping the anniversary show, and then I'm going to stay over a couple days.
Yeah,
and then election night, I am going to be in the club.
Yeah, interesting.
So theoretically, yes, we could make this. We could definitely make this interesting. Is that whatever the bet is could. You might have to come into the club, and the bet might have to be fulfilled night of.
That changes the terms entirely. This is interesting. All right, we'll kick this again to next week because I want to mull this over now. This definitely changes the complexion. Because I saw you on the schedule, but I forgot. I didn't even put two and two together that was the week that it was.
I will be in Acme on election night. So.
Wow. And as I said, we do a live podcast that week.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll be on the radio show. Oh, we'll have all kinds of fun.
Yeah. So anyway, so it looks like we're going to stretch this one out at another week.
Nice. It's like the Rocketeer serials from the 30s.
And all these podcasts you can listen to, of course, on iTunes, or you can go to timslegel.com or Brian Miller comedy.com
or Brian Real Brian Miller. Yep. And Real Brian Miller on iTunes. But of course, good old iTunes.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.